To stay in shape, you have to hit the pavement. You have to put in some hard work and sweat along the way. Many of the same principles apply when it comes to money. Let's whip that portfolio into shape. It's time for Financially Fit with Kyle Hammerschmidt.
Hey everybody, welcome into Financially Fit with Kyle Hammerschmidt and myself, and we're going to talk about spotting red flags when looking for an advisor. There's a lot of people right now that have been DIYing it, if I can talk, over the last couple of years because, you know, markets have been favorable and so on and so forth. And when you get to these rougher times, people tend to start looking for some professional help. So these are some ideas that could, not always, but just could raise a red flag, at least enough for you to make sure you're doing your due diligence. Kyle, what's going on, my friend? How you doing?
Doing well. I think since last time we talked, we ended up finding out the gender of the third child.
Oh, fantastic.
So we're having a girl. So
nice.
Bracing myself for that.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna have girl, boy, girl.
Yeah. So little brother's gonna get double teamed at some point. They're gonna be beating him up.
Yeah, he's already pushing around 3 year olds. I think he'll be able to hold. He's a big boy.
Okay. Well, he gets two of them up against him. We'll see how it goes. But yeah,
that's true.
Never know. Well, congratulations to you and the lovely missus. So all good there. Hope everything comes out fantastic. And let's talk about some red flags, man. So people right now, you know, like I said, there's a lot of stuff going on, right? And it certainly gets people thinking, maybe it's time for a second opinion. Maybe it's time for that first opinion if they have not done so, if they've been doing that DIY approach. So I got a couple categories here on this red flags. Tell me what you think. Is it a red flag? Is it a possible red flag? And just some things to be on the lookout for. How do you feel, Kyle, about an advisor who works with people of all ages and all levels of wealth? I mean, at some point, you're getting started. You kind of need clients, right? I understand that. But through time, a lot of advisors start to develop a niche where they feel they're better serving a certain maybe demographic.
Yeah. Jack of all trades is kind of what you're thinking about there, is like that advisor who's, you know, who works with anybody and everybody they can get their hands on, and, you know, depending on the type of practice that they've built up with staff and everything, like
right.
That might work itself out. But ideally you want to find someone who specifically works with, you know, who you are and, you know, those types of people and
right.
People not exactly like you, but, you know, certain levels of wealth are the same income. But other than that, I mean, the jack of all trades typically doesn't work because those are what I call like the asset gatherers. All they're worried about is just bringing on new clients, which ideally for myself, you know, my clients are more important to me than bringing on new clients. And
so relationship based then, right? That's what you're saying.
Yeah. So, I'm pretty different than most of the industry because I run a boutique office. So, you know, I'm not, you know, I could have hundreds and hundreds of clients, but ideally I'm trying to find those right fit clients. So
okay.
Typically they're 50 and older, looking for comprehensive planning, and they're pre-retirees.
Okay.
Most of them have never had an advisor, but there's a handful that have, and they're trying to make that switch from like the broker dealer world over to like a more of a comprehensive customized approach.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, other than that, that's pretty common. Yeah.
It's probably, again, something along the lines where you're looking for someone in that phase of life that you're in. And it's a little easier to grow that wealth than it is to preserve it. So that's where that retirement kind of speciality.
You know, ideally, I'd like to be able to help anybody and everybody, but, you know, I have to turn people away sometimes, and so they have to turn me away because we're not a good fit.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So maybe a red flag potentially. Another one here, I'm going to actually combine, Kyle, 2 and 4, because I feel like they're kind of close to each other. An advisor who's like always giving you the positive, the good news. And at first you're like, well, hey, I want good news. We all like good news. But things like I also have this other one on here, that high level of certainty about things that are going to happen in the future. Well, and usually it's tied around the market, right? We're seeing a downturn. Well, don't worry. It always comes back. Well, you'll be fine if you just blah, right? That kind of I guess wide-eyed optimism, which is fine. But I think in this realm, you also need someone that can say, hey, listen, this is not working and here's why. We need to consider making these changes. Like, give me the straight skinny versus always giving me the good news. Always giving the positive spin, I guess.
As far as an advisor who only shares like the good news, I mean, it's a little over the top there, because ideally when I'm talking to someone or I'll tell somebody, I'll basically say, if you ask my clients, what do they say? They'll say, Kyle's a straight shooter.
Right.
And I'm going to give you advice just like if I was giving my parents advice, you know, not everything is going to be great. And if something needs to change, I'm going to tell you why it needs to change and give you the pros and cons.
I mean, I think I think most people want that, right? But there are some brokerages and things out there where, it's always like that, don't worry, it'll be fine, you know, kind of thing. And it's like, well, that's not really a definition as to why I shouldn't worry.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you guys got $1 million, pull out 4%.
You'll be good.
Don't worry about taxes and income paying and Social Security. Everything kind of adds up. You'll be good, and you'll have 3x the amount of money in 30 years. Like, you know, there's stuff's going to happen over the next 30 years.
Right,
you have to be,
right,
you know, prepared for it. So as an advisor, high level of certainty about what's going on in the market. Like, yeah, ideally you would like to use historical events and basically say, hey, when this happened, the last time it happened, here's what happened. Like, stay invested, blah, blah, blah.
Sure. There's historical data, right?
Yeah. Every time something happens, it happens a little bit differently because of different factors.
And how it's going to factor you, Kyle, like how it affects you this time is different than how it affects me this time too, because we're different people. So therefore, you've got those differences, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody's different emotional differences. It's easy to say, hey, once a bear market happens, it drops 20% over the next 12 months, the average return is 22.27. But at the end of the day, you have to also be aware that, you know, this thing could drag out another 12 months also.
Right. Yeah.
So like, you know, what comes with the certainty is nothing certain in the stock markets.
Very true.
So
very true.
Okay. Your immediate future is a little shaky right now, but I, you know, long-term, I'd still say this thing's going to shine some light into the tunnel. It will figure itself out. It might not be the quickest bear market in the world like we had last time, but again,
the 2020 bear market, you mean? Yeah.
Yeah, I think investors just kind of got spoiled there for a while thinking, when it drops that 10, 20, 30%, it comes back within the same year.
Yeah,
and that's unusual. Not really how that works.
So that's very unusual, exactly.
Kind of have to take a step back and look at your plan and understand that, you know, you're invested for a reason. This is part of being an investor.
Okay. All right. So again, I mean, nothing wrong with good news, but we want to make sure that we're also, if you go in and sit down with somebody and you're getting that first initial consultation and you want to know if you can retire, you know, let's say in 2 years, and they're kind of sugarcoating the fact that you really can't. I think most people would rather hear, you know, let me know, like, okay, great. Okay. I'm not happy about the fact that I can't, but so what do we need to do to fix it? And I'm sure you'll get there. But it's like, I use the doctor analogy. I had a cardiologist who was, he just didn't resonate with me because of the way he delivered his content about what I needed to do for my health. And so I switched to someone who had a better approach for me. Same kind of idea. And it kind of goes along with my next one too, Kyle, which is maybe the overly technical, jargony kind of conversation. All industries have jargon. You use it all day long, and you may use it sometimes when talking with clients. And it's not necessarily intentional to say, hey, look at me, how smart I am. Although there are some advisors that do that. But I think the key for the red flag is if they're using jargon and not recognizing the fact that they need to keep it simplified as well, like making sure that you're understanding it. Not that anybody's dumb, but just these are things you do all the time. So it's easy sometimes for folks to feel a little lost and not say, hey, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Alphas and betas and PE ratios and so on and so forth.
Exactly. Kind of keep it simple, stupid, understanding the basics and kind of making sure goals are being hit along the way is probably the most important.
How can you implement a plan if you can't understand it?
Exactly. Like, if it's overly complicated, no one wants a 100-page report with graphs and pie charts and all types of stuff they don't really understand, because it's just like when I go buy a car, I don't lift up in the hood and be like, how is this thing built? What's this here? Because that's ideally, I know everything was built properly. It's good. There's warranties. I want to make sure it's the car that I'm looking for.
It's got the features.
XYZ.
Yeah. I mean, you know the basics of how a car engine works, right? You know the basics of how to operate it. You know, you put gas in it, put oil in it, so on and so forth. But you don't need to know how to tear it apart and rebuild it. Now, I'm sure, Kyle, you have some clients that do want to go way down into the weeds and get into the nuts and bolts of their plan. And you can go that route for people who want to. But most of us, I do think, like to keep it high level.
Correct. And ideally, we try to stay away from doing that. But every once in a while, if we have to do it to, you know, appease that individual, everyone's just built a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. And that's usually more the engineer type that's more detail oriented. So
yeah. Great point. Well, you know, again, so these are just some basic red flags to think about. Nothing super alarming, but when you're shopping for an advisor, it may be when looking for a new one or getting a second opinion, it may be some things to just ponder. And the final one I'll go with here, Kyle, on the podcast this week is the old adage, you know, God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth so we could listen twice as much. Now we're on a podcast. Of course, we're going to be talking a lot, but when people come in to sit down and talk with you, especially for the first time or any advisor, really, you're going to ask some probing questions. But most of the conversation should be coming from the potential new client because that's how you get to know about them.
Yeah. So I think it was Vanguard. They did a study not too long ago, but top two things that people were looking for when they hire an advisor was one is a good listener.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And two is that they're fiduciary, like looking out for my own best interests. So that right there speaks for itself. I love to just ask a question, sit back and take notes and ask people, you know, if they give me a simple answer, I, you know, ask to go in for, you know, deeper because at right. the end of the day, I can do all the talking in the world, but it might not be what they need to hear. So until I know what type of advice and what they need to hear, I need to basically ask some questions and then let them do all the talking.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Kyle, you've been doing this a long time and many advisors have been doing this a long time. So when somebody comes in for the first time, it's understandable that you could, as they're explaining things, you could get a fairly decent overview, right? Just like a doctor who's been doing a lot of things. Like you can see some stuff, you've seen it a million times, you have kind of a decent framework of probably what they might need. But if you're going right into recommendations the first time you sit down with somebody, that's probably a red flag because they've not listened to you enough. They're automatically just giving you suggestions. Now, they may be right, but shouldn't you go through, much like a doctor, shouldn't you run through some tests, if you will, to make sure that the suggestions are accurate?
Correct. It's time invested, process oriented, making sure all your concerns. I mean, how are we going to know what your concerns are if we don't talk about them, right? What are your goals? Like, obviously, we can look at your investment statements and tax returns all day, but the paper doesn't really tell the whole story.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because a lot of what comes into it is emotions and like, verbally, like, what do you actually want to accomplish?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Exactly. Great point. I mean, and again, it's not that they can't kind of surmise the situation, but you want to make sure that you're really also going through that process, that detailed process to get the right fit, get the right strategy in place. So those are some potential red flags that you might run into or might, you know, just at least kind of maybe have those go off in your mind if you're sitting down looking for someone new to help you with your financial situation, especially in these times when there's a lot of volatility and things going on. So if you've got some questions, you're not already working with Kyle, you need a little bit of help, then reach out to him and get on the website or go to the website, get on the calendar, come in for a consultation or do the virtual thing or a phone call or whatever, but get started at mokanwealth.com. That's M-O-K-A-N wealth.com. And you can also subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, iHeart, Stitcher, all that good stuff. Just search Financially Fit, and that's one way you can find it. Or again, just go to mokanwealth.com. Kyle, thanks for hanging out, my friend, talking about some red flags. I appreciate your time as always, and congratulations on the new little girl.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time here on Financially Fit with Kyle Hammerschmidt, President and Investment Advisor Representative at Mokan Wealth Management.
Investment advisory services offered by duly registered individuals through Creative One Wealth LLC, a registered investment advisor. Creative One Wealth LLC and Mokan Wealth Management are unaffiliated entities.